We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Twenty minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perez, joined as always by Dusty Eagley, Sarah Kelleher. Guys, it's not often that we get to break news on our podcast, but yeah, it's happening. It's absolutely happening, and everybody's going to, like, this is all that's going to be talked about. Jim Leonard has officially said that he is going to coach, be the defensive coordinator for one more game for the Wisconsin Badgers through their bowl game. And then he is leaving. So the hype train is real. Dusty's already quote tweeted it. It's only been out for like 10 minutes. Sarah wanted to quote tweet it. She felt like a fraud doing that. So
it's true.
Yeah. I mean, we'll call it like it is. But Dusty, since you were the most excited about this, I'm going to start with you. You can tell us how you're doing if you want to, or just make the noise that you made when you found out that Jim Leonard was not going to be coaching in Wisconsin anymore.
There's a noise not fit for podcasting. It was a lot of growling. Yeah, no, I'm doing great, man. Like, listen, I mean, one of the big things about Jim Leonard is that he's not Joe Barry, which is exciting, I think for a lot of us. But yeah, like a lot of people, I like that defense. Those guys play hard. They tackle well. He's got some inventive stuff up front as far as some of his blitz packages. I think they play sound football. So I think the Packers' first pick. I think something came out recently, right? Because he was the first pick for DC last year or 2 years ago when they interviewed Barry. I don't think they ever extended him a formal offer because he basically said he wasn't going to accept it. So, but he was their first pick, and then he wanted to go back to Wisconsin. So it seems like it'd be natural to come back. I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of his scheme, but from what I've watched of Wisconsin, which I'm not a Wisconsin fan. I like them just fine. I'm just not a huge fan of theirs. They seem like they've been a good defense. They've got a good sound unit over there. So yeah, I'm currently doing great. I'm filled with nothing but wide-eyed hope and optimism that will die within me sooner rather than later. But for now, I'm doing real great, man.
Sarah, how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, this is cool because it gives us something to talk about during bye week, right? We were gathering content you know, searching for anything that we could talk about. We did have somewhat of a plan, but we needed any type of news or a hook to just kick this off with a bang and then drop from the heavens literally right before we hit record this news. So, you know, we'll have some fun with this. Packers Twitter will have fun with it, and it'll be entertaining while we wait another week for Green Bay to play. So I'm cool with it. Let's see what happens. I'm all for chaos.
Yeah, my first response was, oh, Packers fans are going to handle this well. It's going to go really, really good until he, like, becomes head coach of some other college program. And then everybody loses their shit because, you know, Pack, what was Brian Gutekunst doing? Like, what was Mark Murphy doing? They didn't do enough to get him here. So it'll be fun. But we can enjoy the ride until, you know, as Wisconsin sports fans, you get kicked in the junk when the thing happens that you don't want to happen. So it could be interesting. My guess is that eventually that does not happen. But let's see. You never know. Crazier things have happened in the NFL and football. So could definitely happen. And I'm very excited because the only other like big news that we had was that Baker Mayfield got claimed and is going to the Rams and will be most likely playing the Packers in a couple of weeks. So thank you, Jim Leonard, for announcing that to us and giving us a little extra juice to talk about. But guys, any reactions to Baker on his like 11th team in 2 years and what that means now for when they play the Packers?
It looks like they'll probably actually have an actual quarterback, which is good for them. I mean, because what Stafford's on IR, yeah. Wofford's injured. I think he was back at limited practice, but he's not very good. And then the other one is Bryce Perkins, who is UDFA in 2020 that has thrown 34 career passes and has thrown two picks in that amount of time. So they'll actually have like a quarterback who knows what he's doing. I saw Mayfield's wearing number 17, which feels like doesn't necessarily bode well for him. He's a short, stocky man. That 17 doesn't look all that good on him. But those are my thoughts. They will have a man who has thrown a football in a pro game before and has looked okay doing it. So that's an upgrade over what they've had so far, I think.
Yeah, and it means Packers have a better chance of winning because he's not the greatest. So, hey, 2-game win streak, I'd be thrilled with that. You know, Dusty and I talked about it a little bit last week, you know, just the feeling of winning and how I kind of forgot what it's like. So, you know, that'd be nice.
Yeah, speaking of that, so the Packers are now 5-8 overall with roughly – I don't have the exact numbers. I've seen anywhere from like 4-6% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like so bad.
And so there's still technically a chance. I know a lot of things have to break their way and they basically have to win out. So it'll be very interesting. But Sarah, what did you think from any takeaways from that Bears game that we had on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, to sum it up, I tweeted right after the game, you know, this season sucks, but being the Bears never gets old. And that's truly just how the game felt. You know, for a little bit, I was nervous there that, oh my gosh, on top of this just whirlwind of a season that hasn't been the greatest, they're really going to drop a game to the Bears. But then they pulled through. I mean, Christian Watson, absolutely electric, continues to just excel. And it's really incredible to think about week one and that drop right out the gate and just what everyone was saying. And then he battled through injuries and just couldn't put it together. And then now, I mean, touchdown machine, absolutely electric. People are campaigning for offensive rookie of the year. So that's just one of the few bright spots of the season. And it makes me feel really hopeful for the future of this team as well. You know, I thought A.J. Dillon continued to play really well, you know, sticking on the offensive side of things. And then, you know, it was great to see the defense get a few turnovers and then the offense actually capitalize on them, because that's another thing. You know, there's been times this year where, oh, great, Packers got a pick. Oh, offense goes 3-and-out, you know, so actually being able to do something. It was great to see that. And overall, you know, not the prettiest game, but a win is a win. And right now with the state of the Green Bay Packers, I'll take it, especially when it comes at the Bears' expense. So, you know, overall, not the best game ever, but hey, it's a W.
Yeah, it was bad, and then it was good, and then it was awesome, and then it was over. Like that's basically how it went. I showed up a little late. I went to watch it at a friend's house, and by the time I got there, it was 10-0. I was like, 10-0. What is going on here? So, yeah, I mean, we got some of the bad. We got defense. We got Jair getting burned by EQ. So if anyone had that on their bingo card, you know,
and N'Keal Harry
and N'Keal Harry, yeah, Murderer's Row over there in Chicago. So yeah, it was, you know, a little rough at times, but yeah, I mean, we got to see another, this was what, the second game in a row that Dylan looked really, really good. And then Christian Watson just continues to ascend and look like a super duper, 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 duper star. I mean, that was, we were talking about ahead of time. Like when's the last time you saw a guy celebrating a touchdown before the dude has turned the quarter at the 42, like just insane speed, and no one was close to catching him. So I love that he's putting it together. I love that he's able to get on the field and showing what he can do. And I mean, that's the thing. If nothing else this year, man, like I, at this point we've talked about it, I don't care what else happens this year, man. If Watson looks good, if Dobbs makes it out there and then he looks good, and maybe we see him after the bye. It sounded like he was practicing and was maybe going to play this past week. So I think we'll probably see him against the Rams. If those guys start to look good, and if you, then you can dream on the future and that wide receiver core, and Torre's flashed a little as well. If they get him a little more involved, that's all I care about right now. So seeing Watson just ascend to that status, and who knows if it keeps saying, I don't know if it's sustainable right now. He's sustaining it. And even if he's only touching the ball like five times a game, he's doing something special in two of those. So, and that feels real. Defenses are adjusting a little. It doesn't matter because he's got that speed. So right now, that's where I'm at. They beat the Bears. They took the all-time wins record, and that's fleeting depending on how the next season or two plays out. You have no idea what the Packers are going to do, so maybe they lose that sooner rather than later. Who really knows? But, man, watching Christian Watson is just really, really fun. So that was my takeaway from the Bears game. Christian Watson, awesome.
Yeah, it was, like you said, up-and-down game, and I know I've been on record previously of, like, when – the seasons have been down. I want them to, you know, lose the games, get the better draft pick. And I've kind of calmed down from that, I guess, a little bit, where I know that's not going to happen. If they have a fighting chance, which even at 1%, they were still a fighting chance, they're going to go for it. You got a $50 million quarterback, you're going to try. So I kind of like I've talked about previously, I wanted to see those rookies. I wanted to see what they could do. You know, Quay Walker still making plays, and Christian Watson becoming just an all-star, like, beast, like, the thing that we all hoped and dreamed he would become. Like, the fact that he's doing that in this rookie season is insane. So watching that happen, and like you said, getting excited for Dobbs coming back, Devontae Wyatt even making a splash play or two in limited snaps. So hopefully he'll start getting a little bit more run. You know, lots of just positive things, and going into the bye week, like, okay, they got, you know, a couple of tough games in mixed in there, but running the table is not the crazy. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm actually saying this.
Do it.
Running the table is not the craziest idea. I mean, I know Miami's in there, but, you know, if they start to get hot at the right time and you get Dobbs back, you know, Bakhtiari's back from his appendectomy, man, this could be something that might be all right. Like, you know, maybe. I don't know. Crazier things have happened.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. So proud of you.
I'm in a good mood. What can I say? All right. The only other noteworthy thing that we had was that Aaron Jones was nominated as the Packers Walter Payton Man of the Year. That came out. So every team gets one. And I think it's during like the NFL Honors Week that they announced that winner, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah, I think that's right.
So that was pretty cool. Hopefully that'll, you know, maybe Aaron Jones can get that win. That'd be a nice thing for the Packers and for him. So guys, we're going to jump in. We kind of, with this being the bye week, we had to do some content creation, and there was actually no McAfee show as well. So we definitely were scraping the bottom of the barrel, but thank you to Sarah for coming up with this. We decided to just do kind of like a little bit past midway of the season, but overall MVP, the biggest surprise, the biggest letdown, and who we believe is going to step up the most for the last few games of the year. So I think we'll just kind of do it one by one. So Sarah, we'll start with you as to who was your MVP of the season so far.
Yeah, this one's obvious. You know, I'm not going to get into stats or research like with some of the other picks that I have, but MVP, Aaron Jones. I mean, just consistently, he's been the best player on this team. We've talked about it week after week. You know, he got banged up a little bit this week. That was really scary to watch because it just felt like, oh my gosh, if he's not available, this offense is going to struggle. And yeah, this was a no-brainer for me. He's consistently been the best player on this team, and I love watching him play.
Yeah, Jones seems like the obvious guy, and I kind of had him on there, and then I bumped him for talking reasons and also to be, you know, we're trying to mix it up a little bit here. But Jones, I mean, yeah, clearly the focal piece of this offense that we all kind of thought he was going to be. And he's been tremendous, but I'm going to go. I know it's been limited time, but man, listen, I'm excited. I can't help myself. I'm going Christian Watson just because this is if the defense had held together at all early in the season, this is the vision that kind of you always had for the offense. Obviously, you know, Dobbs got injured, but coming into the season, it was, they're going to take time to figure out. They got the young receiver core. They've got, if Bakhtiari's there, you know, they've got the line, you know, maybe Tom does something, whatever. Offense is going to be slow coming along, but by the midway point of the season, slightly past the midway point of the season, Christian Watson will start picking up. Dobbs will start picking up. That offense will start humming, and the defense will keep them afloat until they get to that point. Well, the defense has not kept them afloat, if you guys have not noticed that. But Christian Watson, you know, got injured, but now he's come in and been, I mean, not just a big play threat, but a threat to score anywhere. Like, not just a deep ball guy, not just a guy you have to chuck the ball down the field. He scored on a jet sweep. I mean, they're throwing him little like 12-yard crossers, and he's scoring on those. Like, he's the big play threat in a team that they have a very hard time manufacturing big plays. So I'll go with Christian Watson just because of what his, and granted, it's limited time here, but the way he's been able to transform this offense and give them big plays whenever the ball is in his hand is something they've not had for a few years. And he's given them that, and it's completely transformed how the offense is able to operate. So I will give him the MVP for the year.
I think I'm going to go with Sarah as well, Aaron Jones, just because, like we said, the offense before Christian Watson came back was running through him completely, or we all wanted it to run through him completely. And when it did, like, it was going well, and when he was getting his touches, he was the guy. Like, when A.J. Dillon was struggling, the passing game was struggling, it was just that's who it needed to go through. And I think having Christian Watson is a huge benefit for the Packers right now, but I think this offense hums because Aaron Jones is the one getting the ball. So to me, yeah, pretty clear that he's the MVP. Sarah, who was your biggest surprise so far of the season?
My biggest surprise was Keyshawn Nixon. So thanks, you know, Bisaki, for that one, because that seemed, you know, in the offseason when the Packers brought him in, everyone was like, oh, Raiders, you know, the connection's there. Obviously he can be a special teams guy too. So, he's been, you know, a delight. And I think the last few weeks, especially, it seems like he's kind of emerged, not, you know, I'm not comparing tracks at all, but it's, you know, Christian Watson is emerging on offense. Nixon's emerging on special teams. He's also, you know, made a couple plays on defense now too. So that would be my biggest surprise, you know, looking at his, last few years with the Raiders, you know, he had combined tackles of 12, 14, 12. This year, he already has 20. You know, he didn't have a single interception, you know, the last three seasons. He obviously had one late in the game last week. So, yeah, he's been, you know, really surprising. I thought that when they brought him in that he could be decent. I didn't know if he'd, you know, shine as bright as he has. But that's been fun to watch.
I'm going to go J.J. Anagbari. Now, he hasn't been lights out necessarily, but he was a guy that when he was drafted was drafted in the fifth round this past year. He's a guy who could kind of project a little bit, maybe going forward. He's got a violence to his game. He was running 55, and so you get some of those Za'Darius Smith comps right away. He's not as big as he is, but a lot of that, his game as far as lining up everywhere and the violence that you saw in college, like maybe he's just like a chaos creator. Rashawn Gary went down, and I think Anagbari was looking pretty good. Then Gary goes down, and Igbari's getting more playing time. And again, he has been lights out, and the pass rush has not looked nearly as good, you know, without Gary on the field. Surprise, surprise. But I feel like every week, the past 2 to 3 weeks, Anagbari's been looking better. He's kind of understanding his role a little bit more. He's kind of leaning into some different things. I feel like he's really taken a pretty big step forward in the past couple of weeks. Now, I've talked about it before, like, progression is not linear. So what he does this year, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, oh, he's got second year jump and then maybe he's an all-star next year. Like, that doesn't necessarily work that way. But I think for a fifth round rookie, he's been everything you want him to be, especially with Gary being out. And so I'll go with him because he was kind of a guy that when he was drafted was, he could be a nice piece. Maybe he does something nice for them this year. And you know, kind of as a rotational guy, cause a little havoc, but he's been better than I thought he was going to be already. And so that was, it's been nice to kind of see what he's been able to do these past few weeks.
Anybody have a guess who I'm going to take?
Who could it be, Steve? Whoever could it be, Steve?
Well, let's see. I decided to go with David Bakhtin. No, I'm just kidding. Quay Walker. Yeah. Surprise, surprise that's my pick, inside linebacker. But the way that I just kind of thought about it was, is it a rookie inside linebacker? And that's one of the harder positions to switch from college to the pro game. And so I didn't have high expectations for him at all. And the fact that he continually is coming in and making plays, don't get me wrong, still growing pains, still missing things, but that's to be expected. But for him to be able to come in, and then especially when Devondre Campbell goes down, for him to be able to run the defense and be the play caller, I think that's huge. And just a huge learning experience for him. So hopefully he'll continue to grow even more in that. But I've been very happy. I think everybody knows I've been very happy with Quay's play throughout. That's basically the only thing I tweet about during a Packer game is when he makes a play. So yeah. Very happy with Quay Walker. Biggest letdown, Sarah?
Yeah, for me, it's been Rasul Douglas. And, you know, I don't think he's been the most disappointing player. Again, there were a few that we could have put here, but we wanted to try to all, you know, pick something different. But just compared to the season that he had last year, you know, obviously didn't expect him to put up some of the same numbers, but after the Packers, you know, paid him some money and he comes back, I was hoping just, you know, for at least consistency. And I think that's been the biggest letdown with him, is that you'll see him get burnt on plays, then he'll make a good play, then he just looks lost. A lot of penalties this year. That's been something that, you know, has been getting on my nerves a little bit. That's been a bit frustrating, but yeah, not too much more there. I mean, you know, last year he has 5 interceptions. That's hard to top. But, you know, this year he has 2, so not the worst. But again, just haven't been totally pleased with what he's done.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, and I'll go Amari Rodgers. I talked about it before. I didn't ever want to watch him return a punt again. But when he was drafted, he was a guy I was really excited about in terms of like what you heard about his work ethic and how smart he was, how much he studied, even with his kind of small stature and all of that. I had high hopes for him in this offense as a slot guy, a guy you could kind of bring back in the backfield, be a gadget guy a little bit. And he never really got a whole lot of snaps on the field. I'm sure there are reasons for that. You know, even when Cobb was out, Amari Rodgers didn't get a whole lot of runs. So I'm sure there's reasons for that. But he was a guy that when he was drafted, I didn't expect him to be a game breaker. I didn't expect him to be. He's not going to be a deep threat. His speed didn't really allow for that. But for a guy who would block from the slot, be a little gadget guy in the backfield occasionally, do some jet sweep stuff, and then get open in that, say, you know, 5 to 12 yard area, and just kind of with that intelligence, kind of work in between some of the zone stuff, work away from defenders. I thought he could be a real asset in this offense, so I was really excited about that. So to see him, I mean, the punt return stuff, again, he was out there for way longer than any reason to be. I didn't want to see him out there to begin the season, let alone what unfolded the rest of the season. But I really thought he could be a nice piece in this offense, and the fact that he didn't make it through his second year, that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. I'd say the biggest disappointment for me right now is Kenny Clark. I guess I feel like we all expect him to be the world beater that he normally is and just be that all pro like consistency. And it's just been lacking this year. I know it's picked up from what I recall, like seeing some stats and stuff. It's picking up a little in the last couple of games, but overall he was supposed to be that anchor, that guy who just led the defense like quietly. Like that front seven was supposed to be such a huge thing for the Packers, and it just hasn't been that all year long. And I mean, like going back to the Eagles game, man, just being run over left and right every single way you can, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, like everybody who touched the ball ran past the Packers. So I would say like I expected more from Kenny Clark. So that to me, that was probably the biggest letdown of the year so far. And finally, Sarah, who do you think is going to step up the most in the last couple of games on the Packers?
I think it's going to be Quadzilla, A.J. Dillon. You know, I talked about it last week. He, around this time of year, there's just something in the air for A.J. Dillon. And he, you know, he emerges, he runs so strong, and he just looks unstoppable out there. And we saw it, you know, against the Eagles. He had a very good game. And then this week against the Bears was a key part in the win, especially when Jones had to step out for a bit with, I believe, it was a shin injury. And, you know, as they continue and hopefully, you know, like as Steve mentioned, if they're going to go on a run, I think, you know, obviously Aaron Jones, my pick for MVP is going to continue to play a big role in doing so. But A.J. Dillon is just as important in that. And, you know, if they can continue to just beat people on the ground and he can also make plays with his hands like he has been, I think is good things for the Packers.
Yeah, and I'll go. This is my hope here. I'm going to go Romeo Doubs, just because we saw what he did earlier in the season. You know, again, he had some nice games. He did some good things, had a couple drops, but showed some very nice things for a rookie in his first few games and then got injured. And I wanted to see, because this could be the future, man. I wanted to see what him and Christian Watson could do on the field together. They weren't able to do that early, but now that Watson, because even when Watson was on the field early, he wasn't playing a lot of snaps. They're mainly using him as like jet sweep gadget guy. So now that Watson, they know what they have in Watson. They know how to use Watson, and you can play Doubs off of that. Their skill sets with Doubs has enough speed to burn you. So you've got some overlap there, but Watson obviously like alien speed. But Doubs seems like that guy who could kind of work over the middle of the field, be more of the possession guy with also enough speed to beat you deep. That combo could be really, really nice. And I just really hope we get to see that these next four games. And I think I mentioned it earlier. He was practicing and they thought he was going to play for the Bears game. So I hope that means he will be ready for the Rams game. So hopefully after the bye, you know, get that extra week to rest. We get Watson, we get Doubs back out there, and we've already seen what Watson could do. I already talked about him. But if we can get that pairing and we can see them for four games and see, all right, man, this is potentially what the future of this passing offense could look like for the next few years, could be really, really exciting. And based on what he showed without Watson early in the season, I've got very high hopes for what he could do this year. So I got to go Doubs here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with anything both of you guys have said. And A.J. Dillon was one of the answers I was thinking about for sure, the way that he's picking up. But I ended up going with Rudy Ford. And I think that he just seems to be around the ball all the time, making plays. And it's like that acceleration from him, like when he identifies the ball carrier, the whoever the ball is being thrown to, like he's a missile. And that's exactly what's been lacking from the back. And also he tackles. He tackles the guy who's catching the ball when, you know, Darnell Savage would be a swing and a miss there, and he's gone for 20 yards. So I think I really like seeing what he's done so far. Obviously, again, when you get a guy that you think is just going to be a special teamer and all of a sudden he's thrust into a starting role, there'll be some hiccups. But if he keeps playing the way he is and, you know, forcing turnovers, man, like that's exciting stuff. And, hopefully he continues to do that and can – lead the secondary where we thought was going to be a strong suit, and hopefully they can bring it back to that. So, guys, it's we've got some questions. Not a lot, since it is the bye week. I think everybody kind of has other stuff going on and, you know, obsessed with Jim Leonard and all that's happening. So, but we did get a couple. And so the first one is from Jared. Dusty, I think this is a little more for you, but how do you think teams will play Watson different in 2023?
I mean, honestly, there's only so much you can do, man. I mean, we're seeing them now. Teams have already kind of adjusted a little bit. They've been playing Packers in the two high quite a bit this year anyway, which helps you, because then if you've got a guy down the line with Watson, you can pass off that speed, you know, down there. And the Packers have adjusted to this as well, because he's not just a go ball guy. You're running him on crossers, which then you're forcing. So if you're running him on crossers, even against this two high stuff, you're still forcing the defense to communicate with each other. And he's so fast that a lot of times that communication, you'll get those breakdowns, or the pass off is maybe just a step slow. And so, you know, maybe you see a more concerted effort there, but we're seeing teams like even on some of the jet sweep stuff. Now the Bears did not do it a couple times this past week, and that's what led to the touchdown, where they're not really, they didn't adjust too much to the jet motion. But they were on some of them in the previous game before they were doing that. You could see him devoting a single guy backside on that jet sweep, just respecting that, if nothing else, which takes him out of the run side on the front side. So we're seeing teams kind of, oh, this guy's fast and they know how to use him now. So we've seen teams adjust that somewhat. And I'm sure they'll do a little more with it. But even then, I mean, we've seen him try to jam him, and he's big and fast and strong, and he's getting off the jam. I do think that's probably the next thing. Maybe they get in his face a little more, since his release game is not super nuanced yet. But I think his wide receiver game is already more nuanced than a lot of people give him credit for. The ability to push, stop, recognize coverages, work away from that stuff. So, I mean, teams will likely do stuff. You devote a couple of resources to it. You get someone at the line, carry him up to that too high defense. You have a guy basically sitting over top of him, just him, no matter if he's ISO or not. We talked about that with Devontae. When he had the ISO guy away, you have to force teams to respect that, or else they overload, say, the three wide receiver side. Well, now they have to do that if they have him there. And so they're already kind of starting there. They're already shifting him a little bit. Maybe you get a linebacker in on a chip or carrying him up a little bit more. Like, there's things they can do. But again, teams are already doing that now, and the Packers are already using him in different ways than they were earlier in the season. So, I mean, it's a little overly simplistic. And I hate to say this for a guy who's had like four really good games in his career, because you have no idea if this is going to continue. Although with his skill, it certainly looks like that is possible to dream on. With a guy that's that big, that fast, teams can try to play you different ways. There's really only so much you can do. I mean, it's from his physical testing, all that stuff. I mean, we've not seen someone in the league at a wide receiver position testing like that really since Randy Moss. And what did Randy Moss do throughout the course of his career when he was locked in? You can try to take him away, and maybe sometimes you can, but you can't really do that much when he's on. So I do think we'll start to see some adjustments, a little more of that dedicated guy over the top a little bit, but I mean, based on the way the Packers are using him, they know what they have, and they're using him in different ways. It's just going to be – it's a tough ask to stop a guy like that.
Sarah, anything to add?
No. I mean, they can try to stop him, but good luck.
Can only hope to contain him. All right, next question. Spencer Sanders, what era did you like better, Dobbs gold jacket talk during training camp or Christian Watson offensive rookie of the year talk now? And what is your favorite Christmas Oreo? So, Sarah, we'll start with you.
Yeah, this is a great question because I get a kick out of both eras. But I'm going to go with the Dobbs gold jacket. And that's just because I made so many jokes about this to my friends. And I would just say Romeo Dobbs, HOF, in our group chat all the time in all caps. That now anytime I write his last name, it just autocorrects to all capital letters because it knows. And then my friends will text me when they see the Packers are playing and are like, hey, how's the Hall of Famer doing? I'm like, well, he's currently hurt, but he'll be back. Don't you worry. So personally, I think I had a little bit more fun with that one, so I'll go with that. And then my favorite Christmas Oreo, you know, I'm all for traditions, and you know how much I love the regular Oreo. So I'm just going to say the regular Oreo with the special Christmas decorative packaging, because that's what I got the other day at my local grocery store. It was great, and I felt a little festive while eating it too.
Now, are those the ones that have the red frosting in the middle? Say like joy on them or something?
No, but they have those, but they also just have the regular Oreos that are just decorated with like snowflakes on the packaging and then inside. Oh, okay. It's the same thing. So, you know, kind of a cheap answer, but whatever. I'm not going to stray away.
That's your answer. That's okay.
It still counts. It's Christmas packaging, man. That counts. For me, I'm going to go Watson season, Watson offensive rookie of the year, because the Dobbs stuff was fun. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, all the stuff Dobbs was doing, because that was during the draft, that was, this guy could be something. You're starting to hear all that stuff, and then the preseason, and you start getting a little excited. That's still stuff to dream on at that point. It was like, we haven't seen him in a regular season game, and it was a fun conversation. Watson, like, this is the guy, like, you hoped he would be in year two or year three, and he's doing it now. And like, you know, again, basically his fourth game, because he wasn't used very much. And so this was another guy that, you know, they drafted him, and it was, boy, he could grow into, like, he's an athletic freak. And once he learns the position a little more, and he can do this and that, the fact that he's doing it now, and he missed half the season, and the offensive rookie of the year, like, talk is like somewhat legitimate. I think it's more fun just because you're looking at this now and saying, this is who he is, and this is kind of who we hoped he was going to be. His rookie season's not done yet. So I'll go Watson. If you can't tell, I'm very high in Christian Watson.
I'm just so shocked about that, Dusty. I can't believe
a fast receiver. Who could have known? It's like, I've got Christian Watson. Steve's got Quay Walker. It surprises just up and down the podcast.
Mm-hmm. What about your Christmas Oreo, bud?
I'm going to cheat, because it's not an Oreo, but I went to Trader Joe's this past week.
And what's your favorite Oreo? It's not an Oreo, but...
Okay, for my Oreo, I will say
they're ginger. It makes me feel better, because I thought no one could have a worse answer than me, but I didn't care. And then you're like, no, I'm just not going to pick an Oreo at all.
I was going to go a knockoff.
Listen, great question. I'm just not going to answer it at all.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I got a better question that I would like to answer. All right, I'll do Oreo first. All right, you happy? They're gingerbread. The gingerbread Oreos. I always love the gingerbread Oreos. I'm a sucker for those. I don't want to eat them anytime outside of December, but they are very good. And for my other one, Trader Joe's, their JoJo's, like their knockoff Oreo cookie ones, they've got a dark chocolate covered one sprinkled with candy cane pieces. Oh, you buy them, and like, you can only buy them in packs of eight because they know it will kill you if you eat any more than that. But they're tremendous. I picked some up last week and ate them way too fast.
So how many packs do you buy at once?
I only bought one because it's the first time I saw them, but I'm going back tomorrow and I don't have to answer that question for what I'm going to buy tomorrow, Steve.
It's a good answer. I like that. I think I like the Christian Watson stuff just because, like, kind of what Dusty said, like, it's so, like, the big plays are so fun. Like, Dobbs is great, and I think they are going to complement each other so well because they do things, like, very differently. And, like, we have two, like, you know, back in the day, it's, I think it was, like, bringing back Randall Cobb, and we're like, oh, cool, so we have five of the exact same wide receiver. That's great. It's going to work so well in Matt LaFleur's offense. But now, all of a sudden, you've got these complementary wide receivers, and you've got Alan Lazard, who can be a blocker. And, you know, all of a sudden that wide receiver room is blossoming the way that we all hoped it would, but we had no idea that it actually would do that. So, so I'm having a lot more fun with this Christian Watson Offensive Rookie of the Year stuff. And then favorite Christmas Oreo. I don't really love all the Christmas Oreo themed ones, but I will give you a little hack of just taking a regular Oreo and dunking it into your hot chocolate. It softens up the cookie a little bit, and that's my go-to move, because I really only drink hot chocolate in the Christmas time. So next question, we've got I Am Mike. is now the time to put the foot on the gas, draft an elite wide receiver first round next year, and have Watson, Dobbs, and A.J. Dillon to run the offense for the next few years with Jordan Love. Surround your newer QB with weapons like Philly and the Dolphins. Sarah, what do you think?
This is a good one. And, you know, as curious as I am about this outcome, I don't think it is yet time for this for the Packers. It seems like, and again, I could be completely wrong, that Aaron Rodgers will at least be in Green Bay for another year. And as long as he's there, it seems like the Packers are committed to him being their quarterback. Would I be interested in this reality? Absolutely, because I'd want to see what happens. But I just don't think now is the time quite yet for the Packers. But a year from now, I could have a totally different answer.
I love the energy. I do love stocking up the offensive receiver room. I wanted to look at it from a perspective of like what the other needs are. So like for wide receivers, you've got Watson looks like a super duper duper star. Dobbs, we still haven't seen enough of, but again, like maybe he grows into a nice wide receiver too, nice complimentary role. Touré, I think, has shown some really nice stuff. He's a seventh round rookie. And so maybe he never gets past the just run that way fast and you do that. And so we can operate this stuff underneath. Maybe that's all he is. Maybe he grows into something else. We don't really know, but maybe he grows into something. Cobb, I think his deal's up after this year. As long as if Rodgers is back, Cobb's back for like $2, I assume. Lazard, I think Lazard's deal's up. Maybe they bring him back a little bit. Like, so I think they've got pieces on the wide receiver room. Now, if they go high level wide receiver round one, I wouldn't be mad at it because I always want them to go high level wide receiver in round one. And where they're picking, you could probably get a game breaker there. But I think the wide receiver room is fairly well set in terms of the holes elsewhere. They've got, you know, tight end. I think Tunyon's deal is up. Lewis has like two passes on the year. DeGuara, I really, really like, but they don't ask him to do like traditional tight end stuff. So he's not going to be tight end one. Tyler Davis, I would guess coming back, but he's still a developmental guy. He's at least another year away. Now, I think that's like a mid-round pick position, like not a high-round position. But that's a hole there. I think like safety, that's another kind of like second to fourth, but Amos's deal is up after this year. Savage, like they gained nothing by cutting him because that's a fully guaranteed fifth-year option, but they were trying to use him in the slot. They were getting him out of the safety this past year. So you potentially looking at two safeties next year. So if there's a high-end guy there, I've not looked at any draft stuff, maybe you go there. I mean, really, the picks for me in that position would either be interior defensive line, depending on how you feel about progression from Slayton, possibly Devontae Wyatt, because I assume like Jaron Reed is gone. But the big one's probably edge. Edge rusher, that's premium position where they're going to be taking. At this point where they are, again, given if we believe Watson's a superstar, if you believe Dobbs is going to grow into like a nice complimentary piece as soon as next year, and Touré is at the very least a speed merchant, and then you can fill out with a couple other guys, edge seems like the position I would prefer to go there just because defense sucks. And besides, I mean, Preston's still got some years left on his deal. I assume they're going to extend Rashawn Gary. And I talked about Enigbari earlier, but he's not really like a guy you're going to roll out there every time. They need a high-end guy there. So I think for this year, like even if Rodgers is out the door and it's Jordan Love, I think the offense from a receiver room position is in pretty good shape and the best shape it's been for a while in terms of long-term outlook. I'd rather go, I think, edge at that point.
Now, Dusty was very logical and methodical in his explanation, and it all made sense to me. But I say, screw all of that stuff and get another wide receiver. Like,
go also, yes, Steve. Also,
finally,
yes.
Finally, go and get, if Aaron Rodgers is back for one more year, give him every weapon possible for once. Just give him a bunch. Like, you're not going to find a high-end tight end. Like, if you do all that research and you look, like, the tight ends that go normally in the top 10, the top 15, they don't produce right away. And if they do, you're very lucky to get that. Normally, you, like you said, you get those guys mid-round and you just hope that you hit gold with somebody. And so, like you said, logically, safety, defensive end. But I'm so tired of all the first-round picks going to the defense. Yeah, go ahead. If you're in the top 15, top 10, give me another wide receiver. Let's make this happen. And all of a sudden, have a high-flying offense again. Like, it's fun. And that way they can score 40 points and the defense can give up 35 and we're okay. And then they're going back to the Super Bowl. So, there. I just solved the Green Bay Packers for everybody. Final question. This is from Ray Dempster. He seems to be having he's having a marital issue, and he came to us with this. So, thinking ahead of the Miami game, what is your strategy for negotiating a 3-hour window to watch football on Christmas Day. So I'm assuming he's married. He didn't say that, but just the tone and the feeling from the tweet just gave me like the he is married and trying to figure out a way to negotiate with his wife or partner of how do I get to watch football for Packers football for 3 hours on Christmas. So Sarah, what do you think?
You know, this is good. And I think the easiest way around it would just be to ask for that for Christmas. Say for Christmas, I want 3 hours of uninterrupted time to watch the Green Bay Packers play football. And then use that on Christmas Day.
That's a really good idea. I like that.
I'm not going to top it. I know for me, I mean, I've got my family's all very close. And so we spend the bulk of the day over our parents' house I'm one of five kids, and then we've got, you know, all of our children and all of that. So it's a full house over there. So we will do presents in the morning, and then we'll likely, you know, have the TV on. So I'll have it on in the background. And honestly, I'm kind of fine with that. I watch Packers after the fact anyway. I watch them too much after the fact. And so I'm fine watching a game, especially in a season like this. I'm fine having a game on in the background. So that's probably what we'll end up doing. But I do like Sarah's idea. I think that's the best answer, that if you really, really, really need 3 hours to watch this game and you want to do that in silence and you want that time, say this, it's all I want for Christmas this year. I think that's really about the only answer, I think.
Yeah, the only other thing I can think of is just try to avoid social media. And I'm hoping you have like a DVR option. DVR the game, spend time with your family on Christmas. And then at the end of the night, you know, after all the kids have played with toys and everybody's kind of sleepy, you know, that's probably an easy time that you can negotiate a little you time to watch the football game. So that would be my guess. Hopefully that can work for you. But guys, that's going to wrap it up. So we've had some good talk about Jim Leonard coming to the Packers. Little fun content. Thank you, Sarah, for coming up with that idea. I think that worked really well. But before we get going, let's wrap it up with some final thoughts. Sarah, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't have anything this week. No final thoughts for me, except, you know, I hope everybody enjoys the bye week, does something fun. You know, you don't have to watch the Packers lose this week. So that's a win in my book. And I feel good about the Rams game. I think that's one that the Packers can win. And let's just have fun the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely echo all that. I'm going to be at the Rams game, so I'm hyped. I'm getting ready to head up there. So I'm very, very excited to get back up to Lambeau this year. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, and for me, my final thoughts, stuff I've done this week, we're on Packer Report. I wrote about cross-country dagger, which is a concept the Packers have been using quite a bit this year, and kind of the different ways they read that and how they've hit that and how they're using Christian Watson's speed and mixing up some of the releases to get that open. And so that's over on Packer Report now. I pulled up a playbook page from Lombardi's 66 playbook that has that in there, showing there's nothing new under the sun. All concepts have been around for forever. So that's always kind of fun when I deep dive into some playbooks and try to find, all right, who had a page. I never in my life thought Lombardi would have one, so that was fun. Over on Cheesehead TV, that's going to be out today. I wrote about the overall passing game. I've been trying to spend a lot of the time over there digging into numbers, some of the trends, what they're doing. Look at Rodgers' throw chart, kind of see how they attack the defense, and then dig into a couple plays. I used to dig into like 9 plays over there. Now I'm like 2 or 3, but trying to take a broader view of the passing offense. It's just been fun. It's a different way to do it. So I looked at a curl dig concept. That's something they've been doing over the past 3 weeks. That was fun, and kind of Rodgers just little navigating the pocket to get that window open. That I always enjoy seeing those little nuances in the game there. And then a follow slant on a third down. And I always like that, and kind of how he's reading that based on some of the defensive alignment and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of dug deep into those for Cheesehead TV today. And I got a couple of videos running around, including one where it's the Christian Watson jet sweep and a play that kind of gave them the information they needed to know that was going to be a success. So fun week. I don't know what am we doing over the bye week. Maybe I'll write something. Maybe I'll also take a bye. I don't know. But yeah, just, I don't know, have fun with the week off. Have a nice, relaxing day of football with no Packers. Put on some Red Zone. Just do maybe, you know, do some Christmas shopping. Just have a nice, calm, relaxing week, because no matter what happens this week, the Packers are not in control of this. So we'll see what happens when they play the Rams. But a lot of things are out of your hand. And just don't stress about it, man. Just lay back. Watch some football. Just have a nice, relaxing weekend.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. Only thing I've got, I was able to sit down with most of you guys know her from Packers Twitter as Jamie Cheesebutt, that she always has her Twitter handle, but she also runs a mental health podcast called Stigma Breakers, and we sat down on Saturday for a little over an hour and just talked about mental health, my journey through all of it, and just kind of touched on like parenting and mental health and a whole bunch of different topics. So it's really cool, and it should be coming out this week. So I know she kind of put it out already, but she has something tweeting about it. So as soon as that comes out, obviously I'll retweet and mention it, but love for you guys to take a listen, see if it resonates with anybody. So yeah, it was really cool. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I think she's trying to get another group of guys actually from Packers Twitter to talk about mental health only. So if you're not aware, men don't really feel comfortable talking about mental health too much. So she wanted to grab a couple of people that she knows from Packers Twitter to really sit down and talk about it. So we're trying to coordinate that right now. So that'll be pretty cool. If that does come to fruition, I'll let you guys know. But, yeah, so thank you guys for listening as always. Follow us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. We thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. And as always, go Pack, go.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.